Okay, look at our early morning people.
No. That's not what that means.
I've been up since 5.
Ooh.
Is that normal or is that?
5:30 a lot of times, but my husband did get up and go fishing this morning. So,
Wait, did not or did?
he did. He got up and went fishing. So he was awake, and so then I was awake. Oh
And now you're still awake, right?
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm good
yeah.
now. I went to bed at like 9, so
That's nice, actually, right? Okay, so hang on just a minute here. So we have class next week, but we do not have class on Halloween. Has everybody got that?
I think
That means
so.
we have 3 more classes. Three. Oh my God.
Really? That's it? That's
Huh?
that seems weird.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know, but that's the reality. And so what we'll do today, we're going to start really trying to pull things together, but I really want to wrap us up with going back to Tonglen. We started into it in June, but it kind of ties in with what we're doing in the group meditations. And so we're gonna revisit that. But before we do, let me think, 'cause okay, so we're not gonna have Ramon, we're not gonna have Lisa, chance we won't have Steve. So that leaves. You guys. We're all here then, right? Aside from that? Okay. So, let's open together. Let's just divide it up a little bit so we can kind of share this opening time just for a little practice. So why don't we have somebody get us present in our seat? I'm just going to go alphabetically. So April, you get us present in our seat. Oh, okay. That presupposes that I can read alphabet. Okay. So then, Agnieszka, would you help us become present by just being in the sensations in our body? You choose. Give us a minute of staying in our body. So I'm kind of modeling after the group meditation patterning we're doing right now. Okay. Is that good? Okay, so after Agnieszka, Brenda. So Brenda, then would you have us be present for, just bring us back to the breath. Let us know that we've got choice of breath in nostrils, chest, belly, and give us a minute to be present with our breath. Okay. And then after we do that, B, Laura, no, K. Kelsey, could you bring
That's
us?
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen.
Kathleen comes before Kelsey.
Okay.
And you
I said
also, I don't
Kathleen.
think you assigned April.
Didn't I start with April?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Did I?
Just
Yeah.
finding our seat. Yeah.
Okay, April's getting us, and
Got it.
Okay. And then, so Kathleen, if you could, and some of this you haven't trained for us, but just do what you can.
Okay.
If you could bring us into a sensation of the heart smile.
Okay.
Okay. And then, who's next? Kelsey.
Karen,
Yeah?
what am I doing? Which part?
You're gonna just have us be in our body, a sensation. It could
Oh,
be our
okay.
seat, it could be our feet, our hands.
Okay,
You,
thank
it's
you.
up to you. You can give us a choice, you can direct us to one place.
Thank
The
you.
idea is we're just gonna bring our mind back again. So you're in sensation, Brenda is breath. Sound good? So you're
Thank you.
following the patterning here is find your seat. Become present. Start with sensation, next go to breath. And then from there, we're going to our patterning in the groups. So we're going to have Kathleen bring us into the heart smile. We're going to have Kelsey bring us into that sensation when the breath meets the heart. Okay. And then K-A-K-E-L-A. Laura, if you could bring us into a feeling of compassion for someone. Just, you know, what that feels like. That's all we're doing is seeing what it feels like. And then what do we want to do after that? And then Lisa, could you just lead us in either the invocation, which is may all beings, you know, have happiness, or oh great spirit, or simply ask us to expand, to connect with the vastness, and then come inward to connect with the intimate. Either one of those, okay? They're all basically the same thing, but let's find a way that feels. I don't think you guys have that, yeah.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
How long do you want us to take, each of us to take for this?
Not.
Okay, good. Because I think finding your seat is the quickest of everything. It's like, it won't take me a minute.
No. No, okay. The only ones who have a minute on them are, Brenda and Agnieszka.
Okay.
Because we want to just settle the mind for a minute, right? And then after that, it's whatever you're experiencing, just guide us through that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so Lisa, if you're not finding it, the invocation?
No, I found the invocation. I'm just like.
Great. Can you just do the invocation for us? Good job. Okay. All right. And so you don't have to worry about it till we get there, because before you will be Kelsey. Having us, no, who's before you? Laura, with a feeling of compassion. And then we're going to just sit with that feeling of compassion. And then it's from that place we move into the invocation with the heart open. Okay. So can't do it wrong. Can't do it wrong. All right. I'm turning it over to you, beautiful souls. April, you may begin.
Okay, everyone. Let's find our seats. Just become aware of your sit bones, whether you're sitting on the floor on a cushion, or if you're sitting in a chair or on the couch. Just become aware of where your body meets that surface. Feel the weight of your body on that surface. Maybe your knees are touching the cushion and their floor. Perhaps your feet are flat on the floor. Just notice where your body meets the earth. Make sure your spine is straight. There's a gentle pulling on the back of your neck. Helps that spine straighten out.
And then bring your awareness to your hands, wherever they are resting on your thighs. Feel that entire plane of contact of your hands, whether it's the palms or the back of the hands, resting on your thighs. And notice the sensations of warmth between the hands and your thighs. Let your hands release deeper and deeper into the softness of your legs. And just focus entirely on that sensation of softness and warmth between your hands and your legs. Take a moment and just keep feeling those sensations. Warmth and softness between the hands and the thighs. And if the mind wanders ever so gently, go back to that softness, the warmth, becoming more and more present within the body, using that sensation to be more and more present.
Now turn your attention to your breath, paying attention to where that sensation is the strongest. So for might be in the nostrils, feeling that temperature, cool inhale and the warm exhale through the nostrils. You might feel that sensation strongest as you breathe in through your belly, feeling that slight tension as you inhale and fill the belly, and the release as you exhale. And just keep that focus on whatever part of the breath you have chosen to focus on. Take a few seconds to just stay on that. And if your mind wanders, you just gently bring it back to the breath, becoming present in this moment.
Then your next inhale, become aware of your heart center. Just breathing into your heart center, breathing in unconditional love for yourself. Bringing in into your mind's eye someone or something that brings you great joy. You feel that in your heart, as if your heart is just smiling back at you, loving you gently. Of your heart smiling. See now if you can follow your breath on the inhale down into the chest, into that space where it touches your heart center. The gentle meeting between the breath and your heart, almost as if two long lost friends are coming together to meet once again. Following the breath into the center of your chest as you inhale. Bring that gentle touch and release.
Here with that touch that released. Think of someone like the long lost friend. who is waking up in a different state than you, who needs you to touch them, envelop them, hold them. Think of a person or an animal that, is having a hard time waking up, is not happy that it's a Sunday, and hold that person.
From this place of compassion, we're going to open up to something bigger, and we're going to take a deep breath, and then we're going to say, "Oh, great spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places and all times, and to my own precious Ishta Devata, I bow down to you all. Sweep clear the obstacles on our path and lead us to the other shore of that ocean of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love." Let's take a deep breath. As we exhale, we're going to do Om Shanti Shanti. Om Shanti. Shanti. And we're going to send it out to everybody. That long lost friend we're holding. Shanti.
Let's just rest here for a few moments, each of us present, soft, present, right here, right now. And then when you're ready, no rush, just take a gentle inhale. As you exhale, gently open your eyes and take a moment to stretch and wake the body up just a little more. Do you... This may not be a nice question, but do you find that as delightful as I do to hear all the different interpretations than things people bring in? I just love it, right? And Laura just, it's like, so I was like, oh. And immediately it was like, it was just, and then Lisa, you did such a good job of tying in what Laura said into the ending. And then carrying us through with that was just lovely. It's little things like that, right? That just, yeah. were you really, oh, go ahead, Lisa, yeah.
I can tell you when you took over and you said, be present here right now. I thought, I have never been more present and I have nowhere to run right now. It was not good.
Well, you did great. You did great. You really did. You did.
Well, I think part of it is we knew it was coming, but also every time there was a different voice, I was like back, it brought me back even more. Like, I didn't have time to wander my mind as much because I was like, oh, that's a different voice. That's interesting. Like, you know. So.
Oh, what a good point.
I was like, we should do this more often. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, it's like not knowing what to expect. Because Karen, your voice is so soothing, right? And we've all heard it so many times.
Put you to sleep.
Yeah, it's easier to tune out, but I found myself like so curious to see what the next person would be like. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like even with Kathleen and you were doing the, you know, the heart open. Oh. And it was so fun to hear Kathleen brings it in and adds the heart smile later, right? And you have us follow the heart. And then you said, like, was it two friends greeting?
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That was really neat. Yeah.
I just love it. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. So any other, what was it like for you doing it? Laura, what was that like for you to come up with that?
Well, so Kelsey had primed, like you just said, and so two friends, and then it is really hard because like the person I had in my mind, like, I mean, I wanted it to be general enough that everyone could find a person or find a thing or mm-hmm. something, but I need to practice more because I just went with what I went with, you know, but like maybe not everyone was thinking of a long lost friend. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were thinking of their dog or something, you know. Mm-hmm.
But isn't it interesting though? I'd be curious to see how the group reacted. It's like you said, long lost friend, and I went for a long lost friend. Mm-hmm. And but then what I thought you did really well was you brought it back with something that might be somebody's just having a hard time waking up on Sunday morning. That was so real. Mm-hmm. And so how did you guys respond to the long lost friend? Did it throw you or did you?
No, I went right back to a high school friend that I know needs a lot of help right now. Yeah. So it was great. It was great.
I had a moment where I was picturing like a long lost friend, but somebody that like gives the best hug and like that feeling of when you get the best hug and it fills you up. And that was the feeling that I used for the heart center. And it was like, oh, they give the best hugs. And so that was how I kind of used that. Yeah. I loved it.
Anybody else that it didn't quite work for and you need that extra prompt was really helpful.
I had a hard time finding the words for mine because I was so kept trying to focus on everybody else. So when it came my turn, I like lost. I was struggling with what to say. And I wanted to go into the part I knew of breathing into the heart. That's what I wanted to say initially. And I knew that that was really what Kelsey was supposed to do. So I was too much in my head. I was too much in my head at that point. It was really, I was struggling. So it was challenging for me to not, it would be easier for me just to do the whole thing to break it up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And this is also really good training. And here's what you did. Because I want to point out to you guys, I have never, ever, 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 ever equated the heart smile with love. Never. Ever. But you do. You do. And you're not the first one, Kathleen, who's used the word love. Okay. But what you did was you knew it was something like that. So you went there, right? Mm-hmm. And you found your way in and you brought us to the heart smile. You went to your feeling of the love, the joy, and then you brought it back. So that was perfect. That's exactly what we do in a situation like that where it's like, oh, okay, bring it in. How do I put words here? That's exactly what we do. You don't have to be, you get to work your way like Laura did, right? I started with what was real for me. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And okay. Then the mind goes, oh, maybe not everybody. And what I really want to encourage you to trust is that thought isn't you thinking that thought. It's that part of you that wants, that is helping you lead this meditation. And it's going, oh, that person over there, they didn't get it. Okay, come on. We need another thought here. It's like, these are thoughts that you are picking up from the people you're around. So we want to trust.
No, I never thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, this is actually, this is like a big piece of the way I teach.
All right.
This is what we call, you teach to the room. And you learn to trust that what is a thought that is coming into your head is relevant to somebody out there. And 95% of the time, nobody's going to tell you.
Right.
But every once in a while, somebody will come and say, wow, that's exactly what I was thinking. How did you know? Like if you do a beginning class and people start sharing, they're going to say, oh, I'm so glad you said that because my mind was thinking about blah, blah, blah. And it's just what you referenced, you know? So one of the ways I want to, the reason we spend so much time on authenticity is you know you now. You know you. You know where your mind goes. And you're getting to know. So when another thought comes in, you go, oh, let me use that thought. That must be relevant. And we test them. You do them. And over time, you learn to trust. And the thoughts you need come to you. I wish I could do an hour lesson on that, except it's really just that. That's it. Well, I can give you lots of stories.
Right. It's learning to trust your intuition.
Trust the thought that's coming in.
Right. Right.
And learn your body. Because here's the other piece that I've learned. I know my body. When I sit down, I know where what is, right? I'm sitting here meditating with you and all of a sudden my lower back starts going, I will say, release the lower back because somebody's back is tight. I've just learned that because, and this is from Carolyn Mace. I don't make this stuff up, but she, back in the 90s, I was taking a class from her. She's a medical intuitive, right? And she would do way back before there was Zoom, she would do long distance medical readings just with her intuition. And the way she described it was, it's like she knows her body. She knows herself. It's like, you know, your living room. If somebody comes into your living room and puts a different pillow on the couch, you notice. Somebody comes into your room and puts a different rug on the floor, you notice. Somebody comes into your room and puts a whole different couch, like a big cancer in the middle, you notice. So all this work we're doing to be authentic. What's my body? What in me? Not running from it, but knowing it, right? That's really the foundation that allows you to teach from a more intuitive, responsive place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an advanced teaching right there. I've never heard anybody teach either of those two things, but I have learned them over time. And one of my favorite, I have two favorite stories with those. One, I was at a retreat. Many of you were probably at it. And I made the comment, I literally pulled these things out of my ass. I sit there and I go, and I literally just start, I open my mouth and I see what comes out. And what came out was, you're going to your prom and you're getting ready, you're all dressed up to go, and then your date says they're breaking up with you and they're taking your best friend. I made that up. And afterwards, that session, someone came up to me and went, how did you know that happened to me? And I'm like, I pulled it out of the air. I pulled it out of the air. Open, you know, but it's because I've learned to trust. And you'll see me sometimes and I'll just be sitting there and I'm just waiting for the things to come in for an example. But that's over time, I've learned to trust them, just to trust them. So, and now you're all sitting there going, well, gosh, you've never done that with me. How come you never got one of my thoughts? And it's like, we don't know. Maybe I did, you know, Lisa, what was that?
Oh yeah. You're like in my head.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can think of many times that we come out of meditation and I'm thinking, wow, I really needed to hear that. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's been many times that I've felt that way. Like maybe not that it was an exact thought that I can remember having, but that the message was exactly the right timing, you know?
Right. And how many times have you heard me say, I don't know where that came from. Somebody must have needed to hear that.
Yeah. There was a story you told me. I want to say I had to miss a class very early on, one of the first classes. And it was for me, I was blown away. I can't remember what it was now. I journaled about it somewhere, but yeah, I do remember.
I do remember that because at the time I was like, wow, because it was intimate or something that I normally wouldn't share. And I was like, I don't know why I did that. And then you'd let me know when you watched it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It was, I think it was about abuse of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
But my point being, I'm not psychic, right? I mean, I'm not. What I am is when I show up to you, I know me. And I'm not ashamed of me and I don't apologize for me and I'm okay with me. So when something else comes in, I recognize it. If another thought comes in that says, say this, I usually do it. Although yesterday I was at a 70th birthday and I said a thought that was absolutely totally inappropriate and was not okay. But so that's all right.
So what was it?
There was a woman there who's really into past lives, future lives. And I'd said to this woman, so what do you want to be in your next lives? And she was saying like, well, I just love women and everything women stand for. And, oh, but I really like men. And the thought came into my, oh, I said, oh, so bisexual. And she looked at me like, how dare you cheapen my, and it really, there are certain, my kids would have found it hysterical, right? Cause they live in a transgender, all of this world, but she was 70. It was not funny.
So, well, thank you. So for
one of those where you just like, funny. Hmm? You did? Okay, good. Oh, yeah.
So I think you were thinking partners and she was thinking who she wanted to be.
Well, fair.
Yeah.
So
this is a thing that has always gotten me in trouble though. This is you have to nurture this gift very carefully because you have to apply it with wisdom. You have to know when to deliver that message that comes in your head because it may come into my head, but not everybody wants to hear it, you know, and I can show up authentically and be okay with saying it and not know why they're pissed at me the next day. So, I mean, what you have is developed. It's not like, oh yeah, now I'm going to go out there and speak my mind because the guy in front of me in the car is not going to like that either. So. Yeah, I mean, like, this takes time to develop, for sure.
You see, and so, do you see what the authentic piece is so important? Because then it's okay to make a mistake. It's like, I'm laughing about it, telling you. You know, I knew right at that moment it was not appropriate, and I didn't think about it again until this moment, right, talking to you. And so, we have to be able to allow ourselves to make mistakes, and just get right back up and keep going. We don't need to have a cross emblazoned on our chest. We don't have to have scars on our back. We don't have to have any kind of, you know, proof that we punished ourselves enough. new concept. Yeah, April.
I was just thinking when you said that, Lisa, it reminded me, because I've been reading at night, which is not the best time for me to read, but because I fall asleep, but the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga and the talk he's talking about, I'm in the niyamas. I'm very slow because I like a page and I'm like, but so that's as far as I've gotten. But I mean that, I mean, it's pretty like, it's pretty wordy and kind of out there in some ways, you know, some of it, it's like, what does all that mean? What the hell? I don't know what that means. But when you just said that, I'm like, oh, well, that's what that means. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's like those observances of, you know, of purity of thought and, you know, of our verbal, observances. It's like, that's kind of what that means. It's like, it's that kind of spiritual maturity so that you become aware of how we're thinking first on the inside, and that will, you know, that will, transcend to how we speak and how we come across to others. That's my take on it anyway.
Actually, what you just said, so, you know, one of them is non-stealing, right? And verbal non-stealing is not stealing someone's moment, not stealing their credit, not right?
Yeah.
And I did pause. I did not say it right away. And I went, and it was like, oh no, it'll be funny. But what I missed, what April just said was, but I stole the moment from her. She was in the middle of talking. So that's what wasn't appropriate. Right. And so if I now with this insight you just gave, April, it's like, oh, that's, I paused, but I lost track of, you know, I was trying to be funny and it wasn't about me being funny. It was about, it was her moment. And that was probably as much to do with it. So see, we got so much to learn.
Oh.
And we get to do it easily, gently. Yeah, Brenda.
Before I forget, yesterday I was driving and NPR had on, it's a show called The Hidden Brain, and they started talking about self-criticism and versus self-compassion. And I was totally intrigued. And then I got to where I needed to be and I couldn't listen to the rest. So NPR is great because you can go back and listen to them, but I want to go and listen to it. And I thought maybe you guys might want to. Just because we're talking about all of that.
Yeah.
And it's from, you know, some psychologist or something that like thinks she discovered this great thing. But
well, is it Kelly McGonigal or Kristen Neff?
I have no idea. I didn't even get that far into it. I was just like, oh, how perfect. Like we've been talking about this, you know, for weeks. So
yeah.
It's called The Hidden Brain. So
nice. Well, let's do this. Let's talk about Tonglen for a bit. What I'd like to do is do Tonglen and then take a break, talk about beginning class, group class, that kind of stuff, and then go back to Tonglen at the end so that we do some, take a break, do some more. And how many of you right here with us right now, not watching on the recording, you right here, have a sense that you get Tonglen, you got it? Okay. Well,
not that I could like do it.
Well, that's what I mean. Could you do it? Okay. So how many of you feel like you've got a ways to learn?
Are you asking like, could we lead someone else through it?
No, I'm asking, could you do it? Can you do it for yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I thought you meant somebody. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. So with that, it looks like about half-half. I'm going to start at the beginning, review. And I just want to, you know, this is my bow to, you know, my top three techniques. Hong Sa, number one. Tonglen, number two. Rain, number three. But rain really could be number two because you kind of need rain a little bit to be able to do Tonglen. You got to have some... I didn't know this at the time. So in my world, it developed that way. But if we didn't scale them, those three techniques will carry you. They will carry you. And so Tonglen, if we remember, is exchanging self for others. It's sometimes known as sending and giving, or giving and receiving. But it's an exchange. Tonglen is an exchange, okay? And what we want to be, the fundamental principle that underlies Tonglen is that we are doing something that is counterintuitive. And when we go in, we want to remember that. We want to acknowledge that. Because it's totally counterintuitive to lean in to the pain or the suffering. It's even more counterintuitive to breathe it in or to drink it in, right? So to do that, we need to be really clear on what is this what is the jewel at the center of the heart that is untainted? I could dip this in all kinds of blackness, redness, yuckiness, and it would come out and it is untouched. I rinse it off and it will be brilliant and shiny like this. And it's important to remember with Tonglen, we have this at the very center of our being. There is nothing we're drinking in. There's nothing that we're breathing in. There's nothing we're experiencing that can affect this. So it's really important to know that this is at the center. Okay. So.
Is there another, Karen, real quick, is there a term? I think you called it a certain kind of stone before in the heart chakra. Was there a?
Yeah.
Vajra?
I know it's like anodyne or adamantine.
A-D-A-M-A-N-T-I-N-E.
And I think it means so hard that, you know, like a diamond is adamantine. Nothing can cut it.
Here it is.
Unbreakable.
So A-N-A what?
I'm sorry. A-D-A.
A-D-A.
M-A-N-T-I-N-E.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, adamantine. Yes, right. It means unbreakable. So the reference is usually it's a diamond, right? So any questions on that? Could you repeat that back to somebody? Yes, Kelsey, go ahead. Let's ask questions first.
It's not exactly about this. What's the Hridaya? Is that different?
The Hridaya is, yes, the Hridaya is the heart, the heart that is the compassionate wisdom heart that is bigger. It's not part of the chakra system. It's not part of the physical body. It's that next phase out.
Yeah.
So, and I say Tonglen, people who speak more Sanskrit will say, I'm going to try it, Tonglen, like that. So Tonglen, we just have to accept we're part of the West, and so we say it a little different. We say it how we say it. But so, most important thing I want to make sure everybody, if you think Tonglen, you think giving and receiving, or sending and receiving, or exchanging self for other. It's an exchange. It's an active process. It's an active process. So, let's go with the next step. And then I want to hear you guys use the words as you talk to each other so that this idea of Tonglen as something that is, it's about this exchange process, giving, sending, sending, receiving, however you want to say it. And I think if you use the words, it'll help to imprint it on your brain. Okay. So that's part one. Part two is counterintuitive, leaning in to what you are resisting, what doesn't feel good. Everything in your body says, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to go here. And Tonglen teaches us how to lean in. And you might even use the word embrace it. Just lean into it. Embrace it. Okay? So it's non-resistance.
Leaning into embracing what?
The darkness, the heaviness, the ache, the hurt, the yuck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great question. Yeah.
And this is obviously, we're talking more about the Tonglen that we're doing for ourselves, not for others, right?
We're going to start with Tonglen for ourselves. Yes. Thank you, Brenda. Okay. See, I just got to have Capricorns in my classes. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah. No, we are going to start. I meant to say that up front. We're going to start today with Tonglen for us. Yeah, Lisa.
But basically, this is the same for both, right?
It's the so principle far. Is the same. Exchanging self for others, sending, giving, receiving, leaning in, whether you're leaning into somebody else's pain or your own. These are kind of two fundamental components. These are essential to the practice.
But Kelsey. I think I asked that clarification because I think we have more resistance to leaning to our own stuff than we do for others. Mm-hmm. Like we could be that like, oh, we're going to help somebody else. That's way easier, even if their stuff's really intense, right? But when it comes to us, that's where I think I hit more resistance. So that's why I asked for that clarification.
Exactly. 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 Kelsey, do you have something? Lisa, go ahead.
Well, how do you not become overcome by the darkness, like your own darkness? There's holes and stuff in my psyche. I should not go.
Right. So with Tonglen, as with everything, you go only as far as you can. You go as far as you can and then you come back out. You don't go where it isn't safe. Don't go there yet. Okay. But what Tonglen is training us to do, Tonglen is training us to experience a sensation and recognize that there is something already inside us that has the power to transmute it. And that something inside us is this, and this is made from compassion and wisdom. It's so, yeah, April.
So that just reminded me of something that I think about when I'm thinking about Tonglen, and I want to know if it's, I'm curious if I should continue with this or not. When I think about Tonglen, there are different times when I've done it, either for myself or others, or if we're in a meditation, we're kind of practicing it. When I a lot of things happen, like that heart center, that chakra, it to me, that is the seat of my Ishta. That is the, it's like, that's where she lives when I'm not, you know, when she's just hanging out, waiting for me to need her. And also that's, I think of that as, how do I say this in words? It is like the place that has all the stuff that I don't know yet, all the wisdom I don't have yet. And maybe I won't have it in this lifetime, you know, but it's still there. It's just hanging out there waiting for me to find little bits or like facets on that. Right. Like, I haven't ever put this in words, but so it's just a feeling. It's a sense that, so it's that kind of power to transmute that I'm not even aware perhaps of all the different facets of that, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. Just cause I haven't tapped into it yet. It's still there. And Tonglen is my way into even what I don't even know yet. Okay. So that's a rough way of describing how I use Tonglen. And I'm not sure if that makes sense or should I shift that?
No, I think for you, especially given the religious trauma you've come from, there's a lot of wisdom in going, I don't even know what's possible.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what's there. So I'm opening to discover what's there. And according to the teachings, you're going to discover there's an immeasurable, boundless amount of love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. That's what's in there. Right? And compassion is, I mean, we can all feel it little bits, but when you really are in compassion, literally transmutes the suffering. And I think that's a really beautiful way to start with it. It's not to have a sense that, oh, it's already there, so much as there's all of this potential. If that's another way to say what you were saying, and we're all discovering it. We're all discovering it. Yeah. I think that's lovely. And you know, what I like about it is it's safe. You know, it acknowledges that there's still a lot of mystery. There's still a lot of layers that we can all discover as we do these practices. And truly, if you don't find new depths and new places doing these practices, then you probably want to try another practice because it's not working. I mean, these practices, they don't all work for everybody, right? But when they do, each time you do it, it's not like it's different. It's new. So hopefully that answers it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here's the pattern when we do it for ourselves. And what I find is, and this is another one you're going to find, I don't write this one down. Nobody gave it to me written down, and I don't feel right being the first one to write something down, at least not yet in my life, you know, in my path. But so the first thing we do is we become present. So we're using rain. We're just present, recognizing and allowing a sensation to be there. That's where Tonglen starts. And those, the years where I use this, Simone, I hardly use this personally anymore, but there were years where it was my go-to technique because there was so much anger. There was so much hate. There was so much hurt. There's so much of this intense emotion in there. And so I would be feeling this. And the practice teaches us, trains us that we can lean in and actually open up to the sensation, and it doesn't kill us. It doesn't destroy us. it's like if there was a this greasy, tarry, hot mess that was all over my hands, and I couldn't get it apart. And somebody said to me, well, the way to get it apart is you've got to bring them all together and you got to start to rub them like this. And I go, no, I want it off me, off me, off me. And he says, no, bring it together and do this, do this. You know, like if you're working with dough, after a while you knead it and it actually does start to, and then it changes into something else. I have to deal with it. I have to work with it. And so we start with feeling the feeling. And step one, once we're feeling the feeling, we have the thought, we breathe in to this center of our heart to open into a place of compassion by saying other people feel this way too. That's the line. That's the don't change the line. That's the script. Other people feel this way too. And what that does, and we stay here until it does bring us a modicum of relief. Like, okay, what is the message when I say, when you say to yourself, other people feel this way too? And I'm literally, it's like, just you guys, what is the message that simple line is sending?
I'm not alone.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. You're not alone.
I'm not alone.
Yeah.
What else?
Nothing wrong with me in my experience.
Nothing wrong with me in my experience. I mean, those are two pretty powerful things. Because when we're in the grip of something intense, we definitely feel there's something wrong with us. And we definitely don't feel connected to other people. We feel like we're isolated. There's something wrong with us and we're now isolated. And we're back to that shame piece. Remember, shame is that, I don't want to call it an emotion. I don't know what to call it. Shame is a perception that there's something so fundamentally wrong with us that we do not deserve to be part of the human race. If anybody knew this about me, they'd reject me and I'd be out on my own, which then threatens my whole ability to survive, right? And so as soon as we say other people feel this too, there's no shame now. It just eradicates, it neutralizes the shame factor. That's now off the table. And with shame off the table, oh, I'm connected. When I'm connected, there's nothing wrong with me and I'm not alone. And so that right there opens up that heart space. So in this version of Tonglen, it gives us the route to open up the heart. To open up the heart. Okay? So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does. I have to say, I don't know. You've probably said this in other ways 100 times. And this is the first time that it's made sense to me. Like, this is really important for me because that phrase has never, I've never really felt, somehow I just, it's like that didn't ever, like it was just a little step that I was like, I just breezed right through.
And it's fundamental. Yeah.
I know, but it just, it was like, it didn't, maybe it was the word, something didn't like, it just like, it didn't like, it didn't sink in. And breaking it down like this, it all makes sense. Like, that's why that's so important when you're, because that is like, it's like, that's the invocation, right? Yeah, that's, wow. I mean, that to me, that is what connects, that phrase then is what connects us to the greater everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that transmutation that
it's the start of it.
Yeah. Right. Right. That opens you up to the boundary, you know, that we build these walls of protection around that pain, and that helps to dissolve that so that you can get to the shiny jewel,
you can get through the stuff but let me point out something. This is one of the reasons this version of technique of Tonglen doesn't work for everybody, because there are people who, where they are in their path, they're so closed down that other people feel this way too, is no comfort, doesn't matter, they don't care.
Right.
It's like, what do I care? But that, what do I care, we turn it right back around, and we can't care for ourselves either.
Exactly.
And so for people in that place, and I've had quite a few students there, that's not their technique. We do it a different way. But for us personally, I have found that this is when you're ready to go into those places, this is one of your techniques. This is one of them. Lisa, yeah.
What struck me was when you had the tar you were trying to get rid of off your hands, that looks like the, what do I care what other people are dealing with on their tar? But to be able to allow yourself to be hugged and receive that loving kindness, then you start to break down and go, oh, this is, yeah, now I care, because now I have an answer. Now I feel better. Now I can see. So that's like a hug. That's really good.
Oh, nice.
I know I'm locked down. I know that. I have a wall right now because all my people left in a basket yesterday. And I'm like, there's a big wall there. And so I have a hard time going to that, the person that makes you joyful, because they're all locked in there right now. And I'm not opening that yet, but it's like the secret garden. So we're clearing away the bushes.
But you know what? It doesn't have to be a person. It could be the tree changing colors outside your window that brings a sense of the heart smile, that brings a sense, right? It's not just a person. Anything that makes the heart smile.
You've recently shifted that you've started saying someone or something.
Yeah.
And that did help, because I don't know, for the last few times I've just gone to like a sunset at the beach, like, you know, that beauty at the end of the day kind of thing. I used to bring a kid, and then I was like, wait, I have two kids. How can I just pick one? So I get in this like spin in my head of guilt. And so it helps me to not have it be a person.
See, this is why we love our Houston moms, man. They keep me on the straight and narrow. Didn't we have a whole class, Laura? I mean, they impressed that upon me, and I have changed my wording. Yes. So.
Yes, the guilt over picking our children was too much. So.
I'm not alone in that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so in April, this isn't the kind, you don't break it down like this when you're leading somebody through a Tonglen. And in all the years I've done it with you folks, the teacher training is where you break this stuff down, right? Because it needs to be able to work without this breakdown, right? I mean, the technique is the technique. But so now you're understanding why that one phrase, which is why I said, don't change the phrase.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I've always wanted to change the phrase to find a way to make it work for me.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, cause you often give us that allowance to do what works for you. And like, but you, so that's why I just would breeze right through that, because I was like, I can't find anything that would shift that. So But there's a reason why I haven't been able to.
Because at least put it this way. I'm still using the phrasing that was given to me by the Buddhist nun who taught us the technique. And so when you've used it enough that you, something inside you has a different phrasing, that's fine. But for now, we're using this one. So start. You're laying there in bed, filled with so much. I mean, I can't even tell you guys, you know, some of you have been here already where you start to look back at what you've done to your spouses, your kids, the people you've hurt, those moments of recognition that are real on this path, right? And heart just breaking with horror, at least for me, and I know some of you have been here, the pain I caused and what I would call the damage I did. And, you know, heartbreaking. Lying in bed with Tom Glenn. So angry at somebody who was just like taking my husband down for his own self-interest, and the anger, I mean, visceral, white hot heat anger at this man, Tom Glenn. It's like grief. Some of you remember when Joe and I had our thing and he didn't talk to me for a few years. It's like that grief, Tom Glenn. Intense emotion in here. I am experiencing. This is that technique. How do I transmute this? Okay. Step one, be with the feeling. And when I'm with that feeling right then, there's none of this in there, is there? I'm not feeling it yet. I get here. Other people feel this way too. And with that, and I breathe that in. I breathe that in until I feel that softness. I feel that, well, it might not be a snap, but you know, where it's like, okay, I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. Other people feel this way too. This is part of the human experience. And so I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to lean into it and have this experience. Step two, this too shall pass. You can say this will pass, but either way, the important concept here is pulling on what you know as a meditator. You know as a meditator that one of the prime, most important concepts we learn to live with is impermanence. And this idea, the more we become aware of impermanence, right? The leaves change every summer. You know, that kid who was 6 months old is now 6 years old. It's now 16 years old. You know, your friends, they're all looking older, just like you. Not, you know, we don't look the way we looked when we were 16, 18, 20, you know. Well, Kelsey looks like she is. How old are you, Kelsey? 28?
29, yeah.
29, yeah. You know? And impermanence. And so when we say this next line, this will pass, we're saying it with a sense of relief and impermanence. There is no way I can be stuck here for the rest of my life. It is impossible. Feels like I'll be stuck here for the rest of my life. But we know it is literally impossible for that to happen. Lisa.
I'm kind of having thoughts. So this will pass. Like, okay, I'm thinking resistance to feeling the feelings would be the releasing the attachment to what I think the feelings should be at the moment. And allowing that feeling that is. So I'm releasing my attachment. This will pass.
I would let go of the idea of attachment and just be with resistance. Just softening any resistance. Because when this particular version of Tonglen is something we do when we're having an experience. I mean, we can train for it, but it isn't until you are angry sad, hurt, shame, whatever it is, that's when you'll work with this version of Tonglen. So at that point, you're experiencing what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
All that's attachment under there for me. It's like, okay.
Attachment to?
How I think it should be, how it should have gone, what I wanted for the future, what's not happening in the moment.
Okay. So part of the training is, right, at this point, we're in the sensation. We're out of the story. There's no story, which is why we're saying these words, because these words become the only narration in our mind. Excellent point. The rest of the story goes. And when it starts to implode in, you know, that motherfucker, he did that in front of everybody, my husband, I just want to just, you know, it's like, okay, whew, come back to this feeling. Come back to this. Come back to this. Other people feel this way too. I mean, so this version of Tonglen is, I think as Brenda so beautifully put, it's not the beginner version, but it's the one I want to make sure you leave with. Hopefully we'll get to the others, but I want to make sure we've broken this one down because it's transformative for you. So that was a great question, Lisa. Did that make it clear enough for what? Okay.
So,
yeah, please ask questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then in that space, is it just like the rest of our meditation in terms of like, it's just a kind of continual letting go of the story and coming back to the emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I know when I'm in shame, it's like thought after thought after thought. And it's just, yeah. Okay. Just keep coming back.
And shame is kind of its own. See, each one of these things, there's a nuanced way to work with each one, right? And so if you remind me, it's not on our list to talk about shame, but if you remind me, maybe next week or after, I'm happy to go there briefly, right? Not that Tonglen won't work for it, but there's just another added piece that I would bring to it. So, okay. You're feeling the feeling. You're trying to be mindful in the present. You're trying to, understand the situation. You're trying to, you know, let go of the thoughts and it's not working. You're still just gripped. It's like, okay, Tonglen time. Start, drum roll, and we begin by breathing into the feeling, right? We just, okay, and just hear, I hear Pema Chodron's voice going, lean in, just lean in to it, and I just lean into it. But the very next phrase I hear is I can never say her name, Chodron Lundup's voice saying, other people feel this way too. And we breathe there. And I say, other people feel this way too. And I say it to myself, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not alone. I have found that I need to repeat those for myself. Okay. But the technical phrase is, other people feel this way too. And we breathe with that. We breathe into the feeling, and as we're exhaling now here's where it gets, we're inhaling into that feeling, and the feeling is usually, there's a heaviness, there's a darkness, there might be a heat, and we're, if you want to, you're visualizing a sense of that, the heaviness and the heat that you're breathing in. I mean, it's already here. You're just giving it a color, so to speak. And so I'm breathing that in. And as it hits that tiny, even the tiniest thing of, I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. From that place, I breathe out white. I breathe out white light. Okay? And I breathe in. other people feel this way too. And that little bit of relief it gives me, I breathe, it's like that breath we were learning, the breath to soften and release, the breath where you hold on to the softness, let go of everything else. That's what this breath is training us for. What's one of the things. And so I hold that little relief and I exhale, it as white. And then when I feel sort of stable, like I'm getting there, then I can add, okay, this will pass. This will pass. I can breathe into it. I can be present with it because I know it's going to pass. And what you get to put in the back of your head is, okay, there's nothing that lasts forever. I know this intellectually. I know no matter how much this hurts right now, my thoughts can't sustain it forever. It cannot sustain forever. So I'll sometimes give myself a little back talk with it. Are you following me? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's make sure we've got those two. And then the same thing, as you're breathing into it, you're breathing into the feeling and, oh, this will pass, a little more relief, and I'm breathing out white. And if white light doesn't work for you, think pure, think radiant, think sunshine, think something nurturing and, radiant or brilliant. Any questions on this so far? Yeah? Okay, so part three is other people feel this too. And I'm feeling my heart softening. This isn't going to pass. It's like the encouragement, Karen, you can do this. You can do this. And then there's the thought, I wish other people didn't have to feel what I'm feeling. I wish they didn't have to feel what I'm feeling. And sometimes it helps to think of somebody very close to you. It's like I was working with somebody the other day, and a lot of really difficult stuff, and the oldest child in the family. And, actually this came out of conversation with my own family. And I, you know, all my siblings know that I got it all. I just got it all from my dad. Alcoholic. It was all directed at me. But to this day, I would rather it was directed at me than my siblings would have to experience that pain. And so we're tapping into that part of us that feels compassion. This is where the compassion begins, right? I wish they didn't have to feel this. All those other people who feel this too. In other words, I know exactly how they feel. I know how they feel. It's like other people feel this way too. Okay, this isn't going to last. And I know how they feel. So this, I know how they feel. I wish they didn't have to feel it. I know how they feel. I wish they didn't have to suffer like this. And we kind of start there. Does that make some sense? Does that seem like a nice progression? And you know you, you're doing it. You decide if it's easier to start with, I know how they feel, and then come to, I wish they didn't have to suffer this way, or I wish they didn't have to suffer this way. I know how they feel. I don't know that. I think you will decide for you, which if one needs to come before the other. And that really starts to open this place in here of compassion. And at this point, as we breathe out that white light, It is white light that we're breathing out. And we're breathing out this white. We're breathing out the white. And what happens is somewhere in this process, as we're breathing out that white light, we come to the last step, which is, I wish I didn't have to suffer like this either. And the compassion comes back to us. But as Brenda so beautifully pointed out, it's easier to feel it for those other people first. which opens us up. And then we do this beautiful visualization where now we've got the white light that we're breathing out and the other feeling that we're breathing in. And what happens is on its own, and you can't prescribe it, what will happen is you'll just sense the relief, and you'll sense that as you breathe in more, that white light is coming in and the compassion is coming in. And a point comes where you've transmuted that other feeling, and it's literally turned into compassion. Now with practice, that can take, 5 minutes. When I was still working with the technique a lot and learning it, there were times I would lay on my bed for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And I'd go through the first part and I would just work with the breathing and work with the compassion. And this is where it's important for each one of us to recognize, okay, this is enough for tonight. This is enough for now. If even the slightest bit of relief is enough. I want to encourage you, you don't have to look for 100%. We get there little by little, but I guarantee you, you do this and those things, they're gone. They change, we transmute them. They literally physically, energetically change in our body, in our energy body, in our heart center. Okay, so that's a lot of description. Agnieszka, yeah.
So I have two questions. The first one is that you said that during the third step that we may feel that the light that we breathe in becoming mm-hmm. lighter?
Yeah. I have found that somewhere around the third step is where when that opens up to, I wish they didn't have to feel that something, I feel sometimes that light is actually, I'm starting to breathe that other light in. Mm-hmm. Maybe not always, but certainly by the time we are turning it on, I wish I didn't have to feel that way, mm-hmm. which is back to may I be free from suffering, right? Okay. I wish I didn't have to feel that way. And then at that point, we do visualize that we're breathing white in. I have just found that it starts often for me. It'll start in the third step. Is that?
Yes. Thank you.
You see the art in here. There's a little bit of art. There's a technique and there's an art to the technique. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Brenda.
So in this one, unless I missed it, you didn't really talk about the whole, like, that coming in and kind of that touching that diamond spot and then that sort of helping it change color. Is that because that's more in the other?
The diamond one, and here's why. Is it still in there? Yes, it's still in there. But you're already experienced. This one, we do it because we're in pain. This sucks, right? And for me, I can't get out of it. There's no other techniques are helping me move out or shift it. So accessing this is not as intuitive, or it's not as easy, better word. So that first breath, other people feel this way too. That's the opening. Second one, okay, this is going to pass, a little more comfort, a little more opening. And so I can breathe out. I found a space where I can breathe the white out light from. By the time we're doing that white light out and we're breathing it in, what we've done is basically filled this entire center mm-hmm. with the white light. And so that's when we say it's radiant, it's brilliant, it's, you know. So great observation, and you're exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Agnieszka, yeah.
So there are those four steps. Do you stay with one of them? I mean, is it progressive, right? So you stick with one until you feel something, or you just keep moving through them?
My experience is that I stay with other people feel this way too until I feel something shift.
Okay.
Cause I need that shift to carry me into the next one. Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be big, just enough of a softening, right? So that when I'm exhaling and I'm exhaling a change in color, there's something to, it's carrying some kind of vibration. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, when you do it, like when we'll do it here in a minute, we'll just spend a minute or two on each one. When you're doing it by yourself in the car, laying in bed, you know, on the floor, in the shower, right? You will know. You'll just know. And I think that's actually the most powerful kind. This technique is most powerful when you do it for yourself. You know. Should we try a little mini version? And then we'll go to break. And then we'll come back and we'll change the topic completely. And then we'll come back to it fresh so we can see if we can, let's fill in any holes and let's go repeat it so that, and then we'll ask a few more questions and try it again. How's that sound? So please notice that we're here now because of all the other work you've done. It's safe to do this now. Because of all the other work. And we've spent a few weeks now going, may I be free from suffering? May I be free from suffering? So my hope is that we've created a little more of a fertile soil for this technique to take root, you know, and become something that you could actually use. So just be comfortable. Be comfortable. Find your seats. And we're going to do this as a practice, so please do not take anything intense. I'm going to ask you to just bring literally the sense of irritation when you woke up this morning and the coffee pot hadn't made the coffee yet, you know, or you turned on the cold water instead of the hot, right? And you're standing in the shower and you froze your butt. It's like something simple, something little. And let's bring that attention. Bring that, think about something that's mildly, mildly evoking of a intense emotion. And then whatever sensation you've got there, let's practice what it means to simply lean into it. No resistance. No resistance. And we know we're going to, what's going to help us stay out of the story is to stay with our, each of the verbiage for each of our steps, okay? But so as we're leaning into this feeling, we're going to inhale the sense of, oh, other people feel this way too. And as we exhale, we're going to exhale a radiant white light. And as we inhale, inhale whatever color you associate, whatever grayness or darkness. Other people feel this way too. We're just leaning into it, exhaling white light. And you can say the words on both inhale and exhale. So let's do that for a little bit. The other phrase you might want to bring in is, there's nothing wrong with me, or I'm not alone. And now adding that second step where we remind ourselves, this will pass. This too shall pass. And if it helps you to repeat each one so that you're repeating two, do that. If you want to just repeat the second, you do what is effective for you. And then when you feel like you're ready, practice adding in that third step, which is very simply, wow, other people feel this way too. And I know just how they feel. I know just how they feel. And I wish they didn't have to feel this way. And then the next step, as we're exhaling that white light, we begin to sense that we're also breathing in that white light as we hold the thought, I wish I didn't have to suffer either. May I be free from this suffering. And we just feel that compassion for ourselves flowing back in. And at some point, it may even be such a strong feeling, there's no need for words. And when you find that feeling of compassion, see if you can just breathe, inhaling and exhaling this incredible compassion for yourself. And so wherever you are in the process right now, let's all of us now just breathe in that white light, the feeling of compassion, and we exhale that back out to all beings. We breathe it into our own hearts, into our own beings. And as we exhale, we share it. And then at this point, we say a blessing. And for today, let's simply put our hand on our chest and simply just say, may I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. May I be happy. May I feel loving kindness. May I be filled with loving kindness. And may I be held in loving kindness, that I may be at peace. And on some level, the most important moment is right here, that moment, this being kind and present and gentle with yourself. And it just feels so good, doesn't it? So go ahead, whenever you're ready, gently inhale, release your hand. And, you know, you may want to just make a few notes in case there's any questions, anything you want to make sure we talk about when we come back. We can talk about it just a little bit. And for now, why don't we just take a break and let's come back at 15:15. How's that sound? Okay.